Close to 2,000 years ago, a man named Paul was in a dark prison, and he wrote a letter to the Colossians. It was in a different time, a different place, and a different language. And yet, Lord, we ask that you would take this letter and have it speak to us today so that it might inspire us to love you, to serve others, and to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, continuing our series with Paul's letter to the Colossians, in chapter 1, we learned the identity of Christ. He is the supreme creator, the savior, the ruler of all. The supremacy of Christ is the first chapter's theme, as well as the overarching theme of the entire book. But in each of the following chapters, we discover sub-themes. In chapter 2, we see one of the great Reformation solas, Sola Christus, as a sub-theme. That is, Christ alone. He is enough. There's nothing or no one other than the person of Christ who is needed to access the riches of heaven. In fact, Jesus is the treasure of heaven. Nothing is more precious than knowing him. Eternal life is found in him and him alone. Deceptive philosophies, human traditions, the elemental spirits of this world are anathema to Paul and to us. They're evil and destructive. They pollute and diminish the one true faith. The mathematical equation of chapter 2 is this: Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Now, the first two words of chapter 3 are since then, or therefore, which refers to what was said in the previous two chapters. Therefore, Paul says, since we have been raised with Christ, we are to clothe ourselves with Christ. The image of clothing is prevalent in this chapter. Well, it's going back to school time throughout our country. And people are debating what that should look like this time. I can assure you that the retailers are all in favor of students going back to an actual building to learn, because they know that when kids go back to school to be with their friends, they will buy new clothes to impress, and to make statements, and to gain attention. The fashion gods are alive and well in our land. It's a big time of the year for retail stores. It's like a mini Christmas season. Billions will be spent on new clothes in a normal school year. One practice that the best clothing stores use is called guarding the brand. Guarding the brand. A store that practices guarding the brand requires their sales clerks to dress like the models in the store windows who advertise its clothes. The idea behind it is that shoppers will be more likely to purchase clothes because they will want to look like the people they see wearing them. For instance, if a shopper goes into a Nike store and sees the sales clerk wearing the Under Armour brand, well, what does that say to the buyer about the popularity of Nike? Nike employees wear the Nike brand to work. If one went into a Louis Vuitton outlet store and saw the salespeople decked out in the Gucci brand, it just wouldn't be projecting a good image, would it? Guarding the brand is an important sales tactic for retailers. Well, the third chapter of Colossians is also about guarding the brand. Jesus is our brand. This third chapter sub-theme is about putting on Christ. Being chosen of God, as this chapter says, we no longer promote ourselves or our own agenda. We promote the brand of Christ and the agenda of our Lord. Listen to these words from verses 5 through 17. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. A Scythian, by the way, was the people of ancient Iran. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. There it is. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's a saying in our household that Rebecca uses when it's time to give up a piece of old clothing. When something becomes too old and tattered and worn out, she says, "It's time for a funeral, Bill." Now, the saying originated when we were watching old 8mm movies with her family, and her father Emerson was there, and he was wearing the same outfit, the same pants, the same tie, the same shirt, the same suspenders, which he was wearing in the 30-year-old film. Upon seeing that, Rebecca, she said to her dad, "Dad, those clothes are ready for a funeral." To which he said, "Oh no, I like these clothes." But it was to no avail. And Rebecca will say the same thing to me when she deems it appropriate. And then I'll kick and fuss over the idea of having to give up said piece of clothing because I like my old clothes. I like clothes that are broken in. They feel like they're a friend to me, even a part of me. I've faithfully worn them a long time. For instance, here's a t-shirt that we recently had a funeral for. Now, I would wear this t-shirt all the time around the house, but then all of a sudden she thought it was ready for a funeral, ready to be discarded to the rag bag. I, on the other hand, thought it was just getting broken in. I mean, what do you think? That's just like one of those Duluth trading shirts, you know? Get the air flowing through. But I still like you, shirt.
It's still going in the rag bag.
By the way, always call ahead of time before you go visit your pastor's house. But the point is, giving up old, comfortable pieces of clothing is sometimes difficult to do. We get accustomed to them. They seem like security blankets in some ways. And you know, Paul says if we are to put on Christ, we must first take off our old wardrobe and discard it. In order to do that, we must have a funeral. Baptism is the funeral where that happens. We go down into the waters of baptism and put to death the old garments of sexual immorality, anger and impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry, Paul says. The wardrobe of the old Adam is discarded. It is crucified with Christ on the cross. Now, the Greek word that Paul uses to get rid of these things is apothasti, and that word means to put off or take off clothes. So before we can put on our new clothes God has for us, we must first take off the old. But we've gotten pretty comfortable in some of those old garments, haven't we? They're hard to get rid of, hard to let go of. They just feel so comfortable to wear. You know, it's easy to get angry. It's easy to be greedy. It's easy to lust after things. It fits in so well with the style of the world in which we live. Sometimes we don't want to have a funeral for these clothes. We want to keep wearing them. We become accustomed to wearing them, almost as if they're a part of us, a part of our identity. And Paul knows exactly how you feel about these old clothes because he himself had an old wardrobe to put off after he met Christ on that road to Damascus. He once had many of the items we find in our list this morning. He especially had a raging anger against the early Christians. He knew nothing of love and kindness and gentleness and forgiveness. But coming up out of the waters of baptism, we wear a white robe of purity and holiness and love provided to us by Christ himself. He gives us a new wardrobe, as Paul goes on to say. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and above all, love. Yes, it's a wardrobe that will clash with this world. It's a wardrobe that will not match the world's fashion. We might even lose a few fashion points living with this style, but we are trendsetters. We don't look to match the fashion of the world around us. We don't worry what others may think of the spiritual clothes we wear. We wear them with boldness and confidence. We don't put on these clothes to impress. We put on these clothes to love and to serve. These aren't clothes of fashion that God is asking us to wear. These are work clothes. We are those who are the guardians of the brand of Christ. We attract others to Christ when we put on his attributes. Instead of polishing and protecting our own image, we need to be guarding and reflecting the image of God, which is being perfected in us through Christ. You know, if there's one thing I really do not like to do, it's going into a store to try on new clothes. I can't stand it. Just ask Rebecca. She'll tell you. It's been a real test sometimes, hasn't it? First of all, I have to get dressed to go to the store. And now I have to go to a changing room to strip off the current clothes, put on the new clothes, walk out in front of the wife and do a fashion show, look in one of those three-way mirrors. Neither view is flattering. And then go back, take the clothes off, put yet another pair of clothes on, rinse and repeat several times to find the right fit and the right color. And if that store doesn't have what this big guy needs, we have to go to another store and do the same thing all over again. It is maddening, to me anyway. Clothes on, clothes off, clothes on, clothes off. I'd much rather just sit and listen to someone scrape their fingernails on a chalkboard for 2 hours. But here's the thing. As upset as I can become when adding to my earthly wardrobe, I can imagine that we are just as maddening to God when we continually change in and out of our spiritual wardrobe. Take one set of clothes off. Put the old ones back on. Over and over again. One minute we're wearing kindness and forgiveness and compassion, and the next minute we put back on the old clothes of anger and jealousy and greed and filthy communication and idolatry. Back and forth, back and forth. Today Paul tells us, stick to your new wardrobe. Wear it each and every day. Don't go back to your old set of clothes. Give them a funeral. Put on Christ today. You know, with little children going to school, moms get their clothes out and set it out and tell them what to wear. We're children of God. Let God set your wardrobe out for you each day. Let him tell you what to wear. Will you please pray with me? Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is our constant longing and prayer. Gladly we'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Amen.